Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than saying the N-word in a room full of black comics.
Yeah.
Our number to call in. Actually, no, you can't call in. Scratch it. You're not calling in tonight. Not now. Maybe later. But you could join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davinsden.com and clicking chat and listen live. Or if you are listening on one of our affiliates, simply open up a new window in your browser, type in davincomedy.com, go to the Davin's Den page on the bottom, click on that, and then click chat and go. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt, and I am alone in the den by myself. I will explain momentarily. I am monitoring the Den Pen. Yes, yes, Joe's girls, you have the right day. They panic when they don't get attention.
I know.
I will explain what is going on. Pip is not here. Joe is not here. They are in transit. I'll explain that. I have the Den Pen open. I do not know how to sign in to my own website. It's very sad. It's pathetic, really, because there was something in there that I wanted to comment to. They're saying it's Tuesday. No one mentioned the show. Hopefully you guys are listening, because we are broadcasting. Oh, my God. Yeah, we're being streamed, so I don't know. They should be able to hear. But anyway. So I wanted to comment on something, and I will comment it, I guess, now live on the air. Trucker Tom just checked in, said he won't be in here because a friend of his is ill, and he is going to visit him at the hospital. So I wanted to type in the Den Pen, which I designed. I didn't put it together because I need web people for that. But I came up with that, and I should know how to use it. Wanted to sign in. Say, Tom, hope he's feeling better. Yeah, realized I don't know how. I don't have a login. There's no time for that right now. So, Trucker Tom, if you listen on replay, I hope by the time you listen to this, your friend is feeling better. Pip is not here, like I said. Oh, my. They're still chat. Oh, my goodness. I can only. Let's see. No, it's. Why aren't they listening? Ay, ay, ay. Well, Joe, if you're listening, type Joe's girl and tell her to tune in. I don't know what the issue is. But, yeah, Pip will be here soon. She'll be monitoring it. She got holed up late with the day program. Joe is on his way. He got late with the day program, so I am manning everything by myself, although I still don't know why they are, like, acting that there's no show. I don't know what that is about. Apparently, they need your nurturing hand.
I guess so.
I mean, the only thing I can imagine is tech troubles, traffic. I almost want to talk for a second, Pip. Talk for 1 second while I try to sign in.
Everybody, if they're listening, I don't know why they're freaking out in the Den Pen, but probably because they're used to me being there beforehand and just saying hello for a couple seconds.
Yeah, all right. I just went in anonymously. Oh, there we go. Joe's. See, there we go. They got it. They needed to refresh Pip Helix. They were stale. Joe's girl says, "I hear you." Okay, very, very, very good. Joe, Pip and Joe will be here soon. They're traveling as fast as they can. Big show tonight. Comedian gets into legal trouble over a joke. We are going to host the first ever debate between sitting President Barack Obama and, if Joe gets his wish, future ruler of the world, Donald Trump. We're going to have that. Fingers crossed that comes to pass, but we're going to have that debate. Pip has a new curmudgeonly philosophy. We'll discuss some things you can no longer do in school and that we used to be able to do. And we'll answer one of your cybersecurity questions. So we do have a full show. I don't know if Lisa's still there or not. Maybe she is. I don't know. I don't know who's there. I don't know. It's very hard to talk to you on speaker to get through what I need to do. Look at make sure we're still in the air and check in at the Den Pen to make sure everybody. It's a little much for one person who's not trained in any of this.
So, well, you know what? It's really sort of like being in the circus and juggling when you have to do everything at once. And I feel sort of helpless because I would love to be chatting in the Den Pen like usual, and I would love to be there in person. But like you said, the day program had other plans for me today. And, they're talking them down.
I must admit, I am a little perplexed. I am a little perplexed because earlier in the day I was on your Facebook page and you had time to wax poetic about a tree. So I was led to believe that you had a very light day.
Well, no. I had a terrible day, and I started talking. I wasn't waxing poetic. I was basically kind of yelling my angst into the cyber void because I was really, really upset that, well, what's been going on at work. Now, you remember that I was upset because my neighbor had decided that they were going to hack down a tree that was on our, you know, the border of both our property. And their murder of the mutual tree, fresh in my mind. The evil overlords of the day program had decided, without consulting anyone, including the building manager, that they were going to hack down some trees because they were too close to the building. But they could have been pruned, but no.
Yeah, but it's the root system. It's the root system that could be ruining the foundation.
I'm sorry?
It is the root system of the trees. That could be why it's too close. It could ruin the foundation of the building.
No, actually the roots of it, because it was a holly tree, the roots of it wasn't actually the problem, and it's just a building on a slab at that part. It's not like it was going into the sandy foundation. The problem was that some of the canopy was hanging over the roof, which they want to get redone, but it could have been cut back instead of just hacked off at the knees.
See,
that's
decided to do. I would say you are beyond tree hugger. Dare I say you are tree fucker. You are very immersed in tree health.
I have in my day had trees, you know, not killed, but I've had trees moved. I've had trees pruned. I don't like to kill trees for no reason.
Now, what happens, Pip, if perhaps they were doing this because this holly tree back in the day was a hanging tree? Maybe they were ridding the world of a horrible memory.
A hanging tree? I don't know how you got from, first of all, it would make a terrible hanging tree because if you know anything about holly bushes, they're sharp. And so
they're sharp? You mean they're very bright? They're smart?
The leaves, and I think that they might have thorns, but the leaves are sharp.
I know. So well, Pip, here's a little tidbit you don't know about me. In my house where I grew up, where my parents still live, right when you walk right in the bastard, big old holly bush.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, kind of ironic that Orthodox Jews would grow up with a Christmas bush, but there it was.
Well, that's the thing, is that, you know, it was a lovely tree, and it had been there for as long as I've worked there, and that's a damn long time. And and it was really nice to, like, you know, cut little branches off of it and decorate for the holidays. So you see, I'm not against pulling off pieces of trees. I'm just against hacking them off at the knees for no reason at all.
So you kind of approach trees the way you do men and marriage. You don't want to kill them right away. You want to slowly take a little piece of them so that they eventually die a prolonged death. I understand.
Well, that's what I'm doing with Mr. Healy.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm hacking him off. It's like death by a thousand cuts.
Right. That's what I'm saying. And that's your approach to trees.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. Mr. Helix is really nothing more but a big old tree in your life.
Well, he has a nice trunk, yeah.
And he does sport and wood. Huddle, huddle.
Well, I guess in that sense, I really am a tree hugger.
Yes. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Holly trees, they're very popular. You don't see a lot of them.
No, you don't really see a lot. I mean, I think that they're difficult because they are, I don't know. I mean, like, I don't like any kinds of trees with stickers on them, that kind of, like, shrubbery.
Right.
So it's not something that I would plant myself.
I will tell.
But if it was there, it was very nice.
I will tell you.
It was out of the way because it was up against the building and not, like, something that you would walk up against.
I will tell you, in the chat room, there is much sympathy for you and the tree.
Thank you.
I do not know if they are. I do not know if they are planning a Shiva call, but it is certainly out there. I guess
bring Rugula.
Bring Rugula. I guess we say thoughts and plants. I don't know what.
I don't know if there's one appropriate food for a Shiva call for a plant, but
I would think
I do appreciate the sympathy.
I would think
the thing is also it wasn't just about the tree. The tree was symbolic of a power struggle that's going on at the day program.
Uh-huh.
And so the fact that the people that decided that they were just going to make the decision to whack this thing down did not take anybody else's thoughts or ideas into account and had it done before we could get to work that day so there could be no rebuttal.
Would you say that they did a hit? This was a hit job.
They did a what job?
A hit, like a mob hit.
It was akin to finding, I don't know, it wasn't like finding a horse head in the bed.
A stump! You found a stump in your bed!
I have one many times.
Yes.
But this one happened to be actual wood.
Well, I mean, I think it's sad. We lost another of magical beings, creatures. But I think you're going to have to get over this.
Oh, yeah. No, I absolutely am just going to have to suck it up. But the reason I...
Hold on. I hate to interrupt.
A tender heart and throwing that out on the internet and expecting people to be sympathetic.
People were sympathetic.
Really in the wrong thing to do.
In the chat room, I almost feel like they are going to light torches in March. They are very sympathetic. They're angry. The word "carried" has been bandied about. I would caution the chat not to bring torches to this because there's a chance that you could light another tree on fire, and I think that sends the wrong message. So I don't know if torches.
Yeah, it would be counterproductive because there are other shrubs that we're going to band together. Like we're going to have a rally, like Anonymous, in front of the day program to save the other shrubbery.
You know what? I almost feel you have to do. I almost feel like you have to treat these remaining bushes kind of like the Japanese in the 40s. You almost have to relocate them and put them in internment camps just so you can keep an eye on them. Yes.
Now, do you think that interring the Japanese was done for their benefit or for ours?
Well, I think Joe's a good-hearted person, and he said it was necessary and should be done again. So I'm sure it was for theirs.
I'm not sure that George Takei would agree with you.
Well, what does he know? He's an old queen. I don't go to him for these things. I always ask myself, WWJD, what would Joe do? And Joe has...
Joe has been
on the air...
Support your life from now on? What would Joe do?
What would Joe do? And Joe has been on the air that said, desperate times call for desperate measures. This certainly sounds like a desperate time for these shrubs. So, I feel like this might be the thing we need to do.
I think that what would Joe do? I'm kind of liking that. You know, and the other thing.
Oh, by the way, they say shrubbery trees lives matter. So there's going to be a protest. Again, very tricky because traditionally we use paper and wood for the signs. Think it sends the wrong message.
We're going to have to use plastic to hold up those signs.
Which also is really bad for the earth. I'm thinking the best thing to do is a mime. I think we need a mime protest.
A mime protest. No, you know what? Because I protest against mimes. They're too close to clowns, and I find all of that assortment creepy.
Well, listen, Pip, you can't save the world. You're going to have to pick something to protest. Either mimes or tree killing.
I know that considering how much paperwork I just did at the day program,
yes,
I'm probably the least person that should actually say that I'm against tree killing because I just cut down a forest and enriched Mr. Cannon incredibly this afternoon. But I have to think that if I have a choice, I'm going to protest the mime.
You're going to protest the mime. Okay. Well, yeah, Joe has walked in, and I was just informed that Joe took down a tree in his yard the other day by Joe's girl. So I'm just really not happy with Joe's sentiment. I don't know how, when you arrive, I'm going to make this work with Joe cutting down trees. You're trying to save trees. It's really going to take all my peacemaking skills to make the rest of this show go on.
Well, you know, we usually did our publicity photos with me keeping you two apart.
Yes.
I think that you're going to be in the middle tonight.
I will have to be in the middle. Shall I let you go so you can drive safely?
I think that would probably be best. And also, just to save the ears of our listeners from listening to me babble while on this horrible speakerphone.
No, it sounds right. It's what time should we expect you? About how long from now?
I don't know. Half an hour?
All right, we'll see you in a little bit. I'm hanging up now. Drive safe. Try not to drive into a tree.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Soon.
Pip Helix, ladies and gentlemen, saving the earth one tree at a time. Joe has walked in. Hello, Joe.
Hi, how are you?
You made excellent time.
Yeah, I drove like a maniac.
Well, you always drive like a maniac, but still, you made excellent time. So Joe is going to man the chat. Joe, I think I've actually been doing a decent job of looking at what they say, dealing with Pip, and talking to the audience. I think
you've been a one-armed paper hanger for the past 10 minutes.
I think that's the nicest thing you've ever called me. I see I've garnered your admiration and respect after all these years.
Calm down.
All right. Well, once you get that up and running, I will close this computer down and we can use our stand. But so everybody's going to be here after all.
Yay!
So what's going on with you, Joe? Any news?
Well, yeah. I was rehearsing for the show. Our band, Sexy Susan, we had a really good show on Friday night playing out at Island Park. The band sounded great. So I'm getting ready to practice for the show Thursday night, and I'm in my music room / bedroom.
/ place where you eat.
/ place where I live now.
/ place where you lick your wounds. / place where you punch the wall when the soon-to-be ex annoys you. There's a lot. You got more slashes in your house than Guns N' Roses.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm practicing, and it's about 9:30 at night. I want a cup of coffee, so I go in my kitchen. I get a mug out of my cupboard. I get my coffee. I put my coffee.
You've bought all this stuff.
Yeah, I sit down, and I sit down in my music room, playing my keyboards in my house, and I'm getting everything.
Sounds good. Sounds delightful.
Sounds good. Get what I needed to do done. I then go to sleep. Joanne comes home. The ex with the estranged wife now. She comes home at about 12 o'clock, and I'm in my room, and it's peaceful, and it's dark, and I got my Tempur-Pedic pillow, and it's soft. And
well, you can't afford the bed one thing at a time.
No, believe me, I got the mattress cover.
You got the egg cartons?
I got the egg cartons. No, not the egg cartons. I got the memory foam. Foam.
That's good in the winter. Gets very warm in the summer.
Yeah, this has got the cooling feature on there.
The cooling feature.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, Joe. For a cheap Scotsman, you really go all out when it comes to your sleep.
Oh, if you think I'm going to sleep in that room and not be comfortable, it's like it's,
all right. Don't get mad at me. I didn't put you there.
Oh no.
Started pointing and waving.
No.
It wasn't me. It wasn't Obama.
I understand, but I think you both had something to do with it. But
I'm sure we did.
But anyway, so it's nice and dark and it's peaceful and I'm falling off to sleep. The door flies open.
To your room.
Into my room. You drank out of my bunny cup. And I'm like, I did what? You drank out of my Easter bunny cup. And I'm like, my mother gave me that. And I go, and I'm going to give you a contusion. I go, what are you talking about? You took my mug and you, why did you use my mug? Why did you use my mug? Because it was in the cup. Well, why did you use it? It's mine. I go, you use every mug of mine. I go, who cares? It's a coffee mug. But my mother gave me, and that's my bunny mug.
But have you drank from this mug in the past?
I've drank from all the mugs in it. Who gives a shit?
Apparently somebody does in your house.
But I'm like, I go, what are you talking about? I go, all right, I won't drink out of the bunny mug again. Well, why did you do that? I go, I'm a wild man. I just wanted to drink out of a bunny mug. Are you insane? Well, we know that.
It is a bit much. I would think a Post-it.
It's a bit much.
I would think a Post-it in the morning would have covered the same thing.
There's Post-its all over my kitchen table. Take the garbage out. You're an asshole. Stay away.
Yeah, but you just need reminding.
Yeah.
Of all those things.
So,
but clearly it's another case of spite. There's no reason. Did she? She thought you were sleeping.
She woke me up.
She raided your room like your ISIS is what she did.
Don't drink out of my bunny cup. Now she goes, were you in the dining room? And I'm like, Yeah. Why were you in there? Because I own the house. I thought I'd walk around it. Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
You are a prick. And I, funny, but a prick.
But she goes, I don't want you in there anymore. I go, I'll go anywhere I want. She get a load of this. She goes, that's kosher. I'm keeping everything kosher. Yeah, I'm keeping everything kosher.
Is she banging a rabbi?
I know she's banging a Spanish guy. You know, and that's what I couldn't.
Is it Juan Epstein?
It must be. So I.
You know what you need to do? I hate to interrupt, but here's the move now. You almost have to get like hotel maid service. You almost have to rub your balls on her pillow. I think that's the move. Far be it for me to give relationship advice, but I think that is the next move.
But it's like you're kosher. Now I'm in bed. I'm in bed.
But so is she eating kosher?
I have no clue. Marie Callender doesn't make kosher food. That's all that's in that refrigerator. If it wasn't Marie Callender, she'd starve to death.
It doesn't have an OU on it.
No.
It doesn't have a chufkei.
No.
So you think this kosher thing is bullshit?
Chufkei. What is that, a Jewish convenience store?
Funny. No. it's like Kmart, but not as nice.
You get judged.
No, it's these organizations that like... They have these boards where they certify if something's kosher.
Right. You see, or what was that, Parv or whatever?
Well, that means it's not meat or dairy.
Oh, I got you.
These are all things that you need to know now that you have somebody keeping kosher in your house. I would hope you respect these things.
Let me tell you something. One of my nieces came down to New York, down from New York to stay with me because she was learning to be a kosher cook. A week full of prep work, studying, had to pass tests. Joanne just decides she's going to keep a kosher dining room or something like that. Now, I'm in bed when she's telling me this, right?
That's hilarious.
I know. So she's telling me this while I'm lying in bed. And I actually thought, I go, this could be a dream. I'm in the right spot for this. And I pinched myself and it hurt. And I'm like,
it had nothing to do with me, so I don't know what you're talking about.
No, yeah.
It's not that type of dream.
No, Chizzy, no, you weren't involved with this one. But I tell you, I couldn't believe it. She's nuts.
It's gotten to the point where you now have to get a lock on your bedroom door.
I have to.
That's crazy. Because
she goes in there and she screws around my alarm so I'll be up in time for garbage day.
Does she?
Yeah. She'll go in. I'm like, why am I? It's garbage day.
Joanne, if you're listening, my suggestion to you, because I help everybody, is
right.
Screw around with this alarm, have it go off at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
That's a good time.
Now, here's the thing. We talked about the tree. Now, I have a problem I'm worried about, okay? I don't get along with people. All right?
No, you don't. But again, I met somebody, a comic this weekend, who had nothing but good things to say about you.
Really?
Said anybody on Long Island, any comic, always has good things to say about Joe. And my response is, you really don't know him. But
do a show with him.
But that's very nice of you to say.
Well,
so you do have this veneer of decency.
Yes. But there was a tree down on my property.
Pip. Both hands on the wheel if you're listening, girl.
Yes. There's a tree down on my property. I had to cut it up. It was a decent-sized pine tree. The thing falls down. So I got my chainsaw. And my chainsaw is a very good chainsaw, but sometimes it doesn't work right. The chain falls out. Everything worked perfectly. The thing was fine. I didn't realize that I prepped it when I put it away from last fall or whatever. So it was ready to roll. I'm like, this is great. So I'm cutting up the tree, and I hear kids playing in the backyard, and I hear, like, the father. There's a father out there. And I'm throwing the cut pieces of the tree in the woods because there's a wood divider, but I'm making sure everything is on my property line. So it's like I'm working, and I hear this guy walking over, and I'm like, I don't need this guy. What is this guy want?
You don't even know what he's walking over for, but immediately you go, this isn't going
to
be good.
But here's the deal. At my day program, I have to be nice, okay? When I'm at the comedy club, I have to be nice, okay? When I'm in my backyard cutting up a tree, I don't have to be nice to anybody.
Do you treat the den as your backyard? Because you certainly don't treat it like the day program.
No, the den, I love the people in the den.
No, not the people. Not those people there.
Oh.
I'm talking about the den. You know, me, Pip, you, and here.
No, well, no. I like you guys. But
sort of.
Well, but anyway, the guy comes up to me and goes, hey, neighbor. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
What, you think you're in an 80s sitcom?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, how you doing? I see you got a tree down. No kidding. You should be a detective. I didn't say that. But
why not? You would have to me.
It's like, what, are you cutting it up? No, I'm going to serve it up to some termites for a termite buffet.
I saw that. That was very funny. You put that on Facebook.
And he goes, oh, okay. You know, it's a shame about the woods. You know, we should all trim back the woods. Yeah, we'll get right on that.
Does he know you're moving?
Well, he goes, no. Well, I told him.
Oh.
I go, he goes,
fuck you and your woods.
Yeah. He goes, you should get on. I go, I'm moving. Oh, where are you moving to? anywhere but here.
A place where there's no trees.
There's no neighbors either. So it's like, so I, you know, so we go, well, you know, and I was very curt with him, you know. I was like that with a neighbor across the street. I totally blew her. I don't want to finagle or mingle with
anybody.
See,
here's what your neighbors don't understand. They don't know how to approach you. The first thing they should do to approach you is go, hey, by the way, I'm booking this room. and then have a conversation with you.
Just toss a bottle of whiskey at me before they come
up.
Yeah,
because then you're inebriated. But just say, listen, I got a gig you might want to do. Even if it's complete horseshit, you'll play nice. you're like a German shepherd who wants his belly rubbed then.
It's like, well, if you need any help, let me know. Yeah, I'll give you a ring.
I mean, that was nice of him to ask.
Yeah, whatever. So, but it was like my neighbor, like the new neighbor that moved in like about 5 years. Hi. Yeah, how you doing? I'm your neighbor. Yeah, I see you come across the street. Well, have a nice day. Yes, Graham. So, you know, now here's my problem. I had the luxury for the past 51 years that I have lived at the same place, which is an acre of land far enough away from everybody.
I think we're all pleased.
Yes. Now, my problem is that I'm going to be moving into a much smaller place with people in close proximity.
That's not good for anybody.
And when I move in to wherever I'm going, I'm sure people are going to go, hey, how are you?
No, not necessarily.
I hope not. I hope they stay the hell away from me.
I think there's a good chance people will ignore you.
I hope so.
I mean, you might get a couple of people hello, but I think most people just look you out of the side of their eye or something.
Yeah, good. I hope because
yeah, if you send off the right vibe that you're a horrible human being, which you're fully capable of doing.
I know. I've done that with these two past neighbors.
Just walk around with a scowl. You'll be fine.
Well, it's like the lady across the street. I mean, she's such a busy, but like when Joanne called the mosquito squad. And I'm pulling down mosquito squad signs. And she's like, who are the mosquito squad? I don't know who the mosquito squad is. And I go, well, why are there signs here? I don't know where this is. Go in the house. You're going to have the footprint and the ass squad coming. I go inside. You know, I need to remember to be nice when I move into where I'm going. Because I'm going to be the new person. And I'm hey, how you doing?
Yeah, but if you don't want to deal with people, just be your normal ornery prick yourself. You'll be fine.
Well, I might have to. You know, hey, what are those in the bed? They're keyboards. Oh, you going to play those? Yeah, nice and loud at 3 a.m. Keep all you motherfuckers awake.
They are feigning an interest while also trying to learn about you.
I don't want people to learn about me.
Trust me, once they learn about you, they won't want to learn anymore.
I understand. They'll keep away.
The people on Long Island at these comedy clubs, they have no fucking idea. you have them all fooled.
When I'm home, you know, Joe's girl knows I'm nice enough to people and stuff like that.
You're nice enough to her.
Yeah, I love her. Yeah, but still.
Oh, wow. We just got that confirmation. I was unaware of that.
No, but still. But, you know, it's like sometimes, like people, like Chris Weider, my guitar player, was in Race Odyssey. He always knows me as a nice guy, but he saw the Joe Curry side of me one night getting gas. Yeah, because I pull up the brand new jersey, we're getting gas on the way home from rehearsal, and I go, can I get a receipt? Better say a receipt. You want to, the piece of paper that tells me how much it costs. The receipt. And it's like, he's like, well, why do you have to be, you know, you have
See,
to be.
This is my point. Yeah. You're an angry man.
I'm not an angry man.
You just told us every story where you're a miserable prick.
But I'm telling you, right? He goes, well, you have to be so angry. Why do I got to play password to get a gas receipt? If you're going to pump gas, learn English.
You have no patience.
No, I don't.
For humanity.
No. I don't.
Which explains why you vote for Trump. That's why I said I don't try to change you.
Yes, I do.
This is your guy.
Yes, I don't have
He's going to get us all killed.
No, he's not.
And you're
going to
be smoking a cigar and go,
no, he's not. He's going to keep everybody in line. He's got no time, neither do I.
Exactly.
That's what it should be. That's what I'm
on. That should be not make America great again.
And let me tell you something. We went out, we had a meeting with Cammy for our project, where we were doing our film project. And we did the teaser reel, which is a little reel that describes, a little film that describes what the project's about. So we had to make some minor adjustments. So we took out Maggie, who's our producer. We took her out to dinner in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And Maggie, very liberal. My partner, Camille, very liberal.
Pricks.
And they just...
Are they libtards, Joe?
No.
Are they libtards?
No, they're both dear and sweet, and I can't argue like I argue with you, because they go, so, like, you know, they do talk about politics lightly. They look at me and they go, we know what you are.
And asshole. I go,
stupid. But I go...
That too.
I go, shut up. I go, you've seen the posts. And
you're not shy.
Yeah, and she goes, yes. Why are you voting for Trump? I go, because it's his own money. He cares about America. He doesn't take nonsense. He's not a typical politician, and he knows business.
I don't want to get into all this about Trump because, quite frankly, we've done enough of it. But I do want to ask one thing that they are saying. They are saying that if Trump gets the nomination, that he will almost definitely have to take money from the Republican Party and donors to run a national campaign that— though he is wealthy, probably not as wealthy as you say, but though very wealthy, he will not be able to fund a national campaign on his own. So he will no longer be completely independent. Does that affect somebody like you?
No, because basically that's part of doing it, and okay. He'll come right out and say that.
Okay.
You know, he'll say, that's called honesty. This is what it takes. This is what it's going to do. Yes, I have
not
to
really
take
something
it.
He's familiar with, but okay.
No, he's honest enough, okay? More so than any of the rest of them?
No, I think Bernie's the most honest. I think Bernie's the most honest. Bernie's been consistent for 40 years. You might not like what he's saying, but he's been having the same message for 40 years.
Yeah, let's be communist.
Whatever. No, that's dishonest. That's Donald Trump being dishonest. No. Yes. Yes. But anyway, all right.
Anyway, all right.
I don't want to get into. I was just curious.
We digress.
So, I filmed a TV thingy.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Oh, you were saying that last week. Good, how'd
that
go?
I was saying that. Oh, by the way, the teaser that I shot. Remember I shot over the summer a teaser for
yeah.
a cooking show?
Yeah.
Ah, shit. Have to do it again. complete shit. But no, I knew it was shit. We were doing it because we're crammed in front of a screen. It wasn't even a green screen. They said something like a blue screen. And we're taking direction from these Japanese people who don't know English. And we're on top of each other. And I'm holding like a bowl of chopped meat in one hand and like a turkey burger in another.
Did you go through everything? Because sometimes there's reasons why scenes have to be shot.
I haven't even seen the thing.
You got it.
Roger saw it.
It's your project. You have to look at this.
I had a feeling it was probably shitty at the time.
But still, there was things when Cammy and I, when we saw our teaser, we weren't that thrilled right off the bat. But we sat and her and I dissected why some things had to be. And then when we sat with Maggie explained why some shots had to be. You know, so it all made sense.
Yeah, we didn't get that.
You need to see, you can't, Devin, for somebody who's a task, you know, you amaze me sometimes. I want this. I want it. It's got to be like, sometimes when it comes to delegating.
But that was thrown together last minute.
But you still should have been there to see it.
I was there.
To see the teaser?
Next time I see Roger, I'll see it. This was the third time already. The third incarnation of it.
You need to see every incarnation.
No,
of
I
it.
Need to script out the way it's supposed to go.
But you need to be very specific in what you want. All right, I know, but sometimes you're not. Sometimes you demand things, which is fine. You're in charge of a lot of stuff, but sometimes you need to demand things and be specific. And one of the things you should have demanded was to see the first version.
I haven't given up on that.
Okay,
I'm going to see the third version.
All right, but you need to see the third and the fourth and however it takes to get the project.
He's flying in again. He's in L.A. The other guy I'm dealing with, flying in again. We're going to do another reshoot, but we're going to do it on location.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm going to write out exactly what it needs to be.
Okay.
Yeah, that's shit. So, good. Won't be a star anytime soon.
Right. It takes time to do. I mean, just editing 5 minutes takes hours.
I don't know
hours.
Why Lisa's asking if I'm going to make sushi. No, I'm not going to make sushi. That's a stupid question. I think Lisa was being very racist because I said I had these Japanese people directing me, and she automatically assumed. I didn't catch that. That's funny. I think Lisa has assumed Pip Helix's mantra is the most racist person on the show until Pip gets here. Yeah. No, we weren't making sushi. Yes, a cooking show. A cooking show. Don't be surprised. Anyway, right, but that's not what I was filming this week.
Right.
This was a stand-up comedy. You know, right. One of these compilation shows where they show several different comedians. You've seen
And
them.
Where was it filmed?
In the Bronx, in a studio.
Alrighty.
So, but I want to do the lead up to it, because I met the guy, and this just goes how it's good to be nice. I don't know whose Facebook page it was, but he was booking some mic in Harlem, the guy who put this all together.
Right.
Guy that bills himself as Dr. Rocco. Don't know where he got his PhD, but I don't ask. And he's like putting this together, like this open mic, and people were like giving him like a ton of crap over it. Like putting like the mic together. It was like giving people stage time. And people are like, oh, man, if there's no money, don't do it. And I'm like, hey, guys, relax. Everybody starts somewhere.
I'm sorry. They're just starting out? They're bitching there's no money?
Or it was more established comics bitching him there was no money. But it was – I said, listen, as long as it's not being billed as a professional show, There's nothing wrong with it. No, but you know how some people bill it as a professional show and have a bunch of open micers.
Yeah.
We've seen those ads. We've laughed at them. But so I was nice to him.
Right.
I'm like, guys, relax. We all start somewhere. We don't have to kill each other right in the beginning.
Right.
I mean, I used to do that. You used to do those shows.
Yeah.
I gave people stage time.
Stage time is, you know, a valuable thing. You got to pay your dues, man. You really do.
I gave a lot of stage time. I also had paid work.
Yeah.
But I also had a lot of mics. You came down and did them.
Yeah.
Had a good time. We got better there. So he friended me on Facebook, and we become Facebook friends. So then he asked me if I want to do this TV show. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know what it's about, but why not? So I'm doing I got to do a 6-minute thing. And I don't really do a lot of 6-minute sets.
Right.
I mean, that was something when you started out, you do a 6-minute set, but we don't. Even in the city, when I'm working at the clubs in the city, I'm doing 10 or more.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a new skill set. And I only started working on it on Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday.
Right.
So I decided what I wanted to do with this is I want it to be clean. And I want to use...
Yeah, because...
It doesn't have to be.
Yeah, but you still want to, you know...
I wanted to be clean. I didn't want to curse. Really didn't want to do anything sexually graphic. I also wanted to be some more of my universal material because a lot of the stuff I write these days is more topical.
Right.
So I wanted it to be the type of thing that no matter when it's played, it still seems, I don't know, fresh is the right word, but pertinent. So I went with that decision. And I really wanted to emphasize delivery. I wanted to make sure I slowed down. I used my face because I don't really do a lot of facial expressions.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the weakest part of my stand-up thing. I'm not... You know, I use my face, but some guys have a rubber face.
Right.
I'm not one of those guys.
Right.
So those were the things I wanted to work on. And I haven't... Now, I had to do something I haven't done in years. You do it. You're much more methodical and mechanical when you put together things because you have checklists, you have sets, you have papers, you have
You know what I do? I haven't graded one in a long time, but I tape everyone. Because I want to know, you know, there's that one set that, you know, you want to find out, you know, if they all go right, that's fine, but you always want to listen to the one that went wrong.
Right.
Or what happened? What did not go right in that set?
Well, I mean, but I haven't done a set list in years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I used to do set lists when I would do auditions, when I was starting and you know, went through, you know, for years when you go, oh, wow, I got to do 20 minutes. I got to do 30 minutes. All right, mm-hmm. I got to write this down, this down, this down, this down. You know, you put it with little code words.
Now, I still do that. I'll have it when I do, like, I've been closing some shows the past month. So I have everything
right, because
down.
Right, because you're at that point where it's like, oh, where you're like, okay, I know I got my 30. I could do my 30 in my sleep. But now here's another 15.
And the amazing thing is a lot of comics, you know, a lot of comics will go, oh, you got everything written up. But why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you have a compendium of what you want to do? You know?
But I don't. People ask me, what are you going to talk
and
about?
And a lot don't. So it's not like you're like the minority in this,
no.
You know?
No, I don't. And people ask me, what are you going to talk about? And I'm like, I don't know. But you've seen me.
Well, your deal is you'll go up and do material, but then you'll riff off of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, you'll go up and you'll talk about something, but you could. It's a skill I don't have that you can improv, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you know, with a situation. That's why I recommend you for that one thing, you know, because I knew that you could do that. So that's not my forte. I'm not even going to sit here and go, you know, I could do. No, that's not that. We approach our comedy in different ways.
Right.
You know, to get the same result, but we have a different approach
based
on our
strengths. So what I'm telling
you
that I'm trying to plan, because I'm not going to do any crowd on this.
No, you can't. No.
Is completely out of what my normal show is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a set list. I'm not a dirty act, but I'm going to make sure I'm going to be clean.
Mm-hmm.
It's very 6 minutes. I'm going to make sure I slow down because part of sometimes when working in the crowd is sometimes I speed up too much.
Yeah.
And people lose things.
Yeah.
I can't. And that's a weakness of mine that I get from people after the show. You were really funny, but you talk too fast. Yeah.
I get that too.
Because where we live.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm really trying to slow down. So I'm doing the show on Wednesday. At this point, I'm doing 7 minutes.
Now you're doing the show where?
I'm closing at Broadway.
Okay.
And I am scheduled to do a 10-minute spot at the Grizzly Pear.
Okay.
Which is earlier. I thought it was 7 minutes. I was wrong, so I'm working on a 7-minute set at this point. And I try to do it on the first show at the Grizzly Pear. But, you know, sometimes the audience just isn't having it.
Adam Ferrara would come into Governor's and he would hang out. And he goes, and he would sit with me. Go, I'm going to do this. I want to do that. I'm going to do this. Listen, go out. I want you to listen and critique this, this, and this, and this. He'll go out. It'll be like some Saturday, Sunday night fundraiser. And he'll just drop plenty. He'll come back in livid. What am I going to do? They wouldn't shut. I got to go. Oh, I go. The whole thing was shot down.
Right.
So you know,
me and Adam
yeah.
are kind of similar in a lot of regards.
Slow down. No.
clearly, he's been successful enough to get away from you.
Yeah.
but as far as stylistically,
mm-hmm.
as far as stylistically,
riffing.
That's what I'm talking about. We have material mm-hmm. that we want to get to, but if the situation calls for it, we can go off the script. I know yeah. this because years ago when I was starting out, I saw Adam working on something at Stand Up New York on a show I was on.
Right.
And
right.
I remember he had his notepad. And I like to say to this day, Adam Ferrara opened for me.
No.
but yes, it's that same thing. It's like, you know, I want to work on this. But the audience doesn't dictate it. So it's like, ugh, all right, so I got to go here. Because there's that ego in us, that need to get laughs. You don't want to just go down in flames for the 6 or 7 or whatever minutes it is.
It's a rough thing because basically, on the other hand, we could sit here and go, well, you need to stick to it. You need to work in your cadence. You work to work. But if you're going up and you've got guys that are doing old stuff, new stuff, you know, and there's a certain vibe in the room, you got to go with that vibe, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it was like when Kevin James was at Governor's the past couple of weeks and I was at both shows, the guys that followed Kevin were kind of nervous, but they both did really, really good. And everybody behind it, the whole vibe of the show changed.
Right.
Where you're going up and you're like, all right, I'm not going to be the guy that's going to be the weakest link in this show.
Well, I can assure
so it changes
you,
your home game plan. You
I
know?
Can assure you, they're not disrespect anybody on these shows. There was nobody of Kevin James' prowess. Before.
Right, but even though, like,
it's a vibe.
It's a vibe, regardless if Kevin's in the show,
right.
Regardless if, you know, some guy from Jersey's in the show, regardless, you know, there's a vibe, and sometimes you have to go with that vibe because the club owner doesn't know you're working on something. The other guys don't know you're working on something.
Well, the
audience doesn't.
The people who put the show together were fine with whatever idea.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm like, all right, I got to go into the crowd. I got to make some stuff. Now, this isn't new material that I know. Does it work? Does it not work? This is all material for the most part. I'm very mm-hmm. confident in.
Right.
So it's not like, does the material work? I just need to remember the order of things.
You got to remember the cadence because,
right.
like, when I was open for Adam, again, Adam, at Westbury Music Fair, I was going up and I was doing 10. At the time, I was years into doing this, but I did something that I didn't do since I started, and that was sitting in front of my mirror going over my act
in
my
room. I did that.
Just to keep the rhythm, you know, just to get a rhythm going. And I hadn't done that in years. And that was the only time. Like, I did that show 15 years in, mm-hmm. 15 years in, and it was the first time in maybe 13 that I did that, and then I did it, and then again, I don't, because any new material I'll write, I'll have it, but it's going into my regular set where I go, I think it'll go here, let
right.
me format it and get it out, and you tape it and listen back, but you don't, you know, because you got your regular material, you don't just sit there and go over that. But when you do a showcase set, if you're going on, you know, Leno or something like, not Leno anymore, any of the late night talk shows, and you have that, you'll see guys come in sticking to this 10 minutes or
right,
7 that they have to
that's
do.
What I was doing.
And that's what you got to do, yeah.
I was doing the same thing, though, like, you know, which I never do, walking around in the room, mm-hmm. timing, holding the remote control as a microphone, which I never do anymore.
Yeah,
it's all in my head.
Because you're going out doing a 45 to an hour set. You're not specifically doing 6, and you have to take your material from all over that hour, and you have to put
right.
it into 6. And and there are some things, and everything's got to flow together. And the problem is, something that you do is a good bit here at 10, another great segment at 5, another great segment at 35, another great segment at 45. They've never been together because of the way the act goes. Now, if you've got to do this and want to showcase, they have to be brought in, and you have to find the bridge
and you have
to get to them.
You have to cherry pick from those clumps of jokes.
Right, right.
So... The first show I did on Wednesday night was okay, but not what I wanted to accomplish.
Okay, right.
The guy who was hosting that show goes, listen, I got the midnight show here if you want. I know you got a 12:30 spot at Broadway, but let's start this a little early. I'll just do a minute up front and welcome everybody,
uh-huh.
and you go up and bang out your 6.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I might have done more than 6. I don't know what I did, but whatever. I go 7. I go, okay, thanks. That'd be great. I did that on the Midnight Show. Bam, bam, bam. All the jokes were. Audience was great. Boom. Out. Feeling good. Now I got to close Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, I think I closed Broadway because they need somebody who can like handle the nonsense. That's always the spot they give me on the 11,
okay.
11 p.m. show. And again, I want to work on this at the time, 7. Yeah. But, you know, I couldn't. I had to mix and match and pull in and do crowd. Like at one point, somebody, we were talking about like Iowa. I don't know why.
Yeah.
And a girl goes, fuck Iowa. And I go, well, I think you're going to be sore, but okay. You know, just like.
And you can't go, you know, you can't, fuck Iowa. You know, the other day.
Exactly.
You can't.
You can.
But you're not a comic if you do that.
Lots of comics do. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't. Lots of comics do. Comics who are more disciplined.
Look, I'm not the greatest at crowd work, but I can do it. And right. If I get something like that, whoa, whoa, whoa.
So the set was, you know, I did the job. They loved me. But again, not what I wanted to accomplish.
Yeah.
So now, Friday, I'm Side Spinning Productions has a show over at Francesco's, who I believe will be coming back on board as a sponsor.
Oh, good, good, good.
Yeah.
Good. And you can jump on that show. You're the boss.
Right.
Well, that- you know, I hung up on myself a couple of times, and I'm like, all right, just 7.
But I never, but you know me, if I'm not on the show, I don't put myself on the show.
No, you'll just, yeah, you won't.
You'll do the intro. And I'll set up the host.
Because you'll sit there, and if you go, hey, look a little, you know what, I'm going to go up, I'm just going to get ready, bring the MC up, and just get him a little bit loose
right.
And stuff like that.
But this time, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to do the 6 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I did the 6 minutes, worked that really well. Then I'm hosting for Jokers. I'm kind of like the house MC now over there when I'm around.
Okay.
Over at Jokers in Chester, New York.
It's going to be a different situation. You're doing a warm-up. Well, you know what I'm saying?
Well, Walt did actually a couple of minutes up front.
Okay.
Walt did a couple where he was like, you voting for Trump? I go, Walt, thanks for the intro. I've never done I've never gotten introduced by a political poll. Like, he's asking everybody voting for. But, I did. I riffed a little bit to start. Then I nestled in that 6 minutes now because now it was
how new. Much time are you doing in the set?
15.
Okay, good. So you can get them. Traditionally, what you'll do is you'll do 5.
Right.
You get an audience. You can know, and this is how I've noticed by doing timing my sets, doing all the lists. They start to come, especially if you're first up. At 3 minutes, I mean, if you're on, at 3 minutes, they start to warm up and start to dig in. So at 5, now you could start to set up shop and do what you need to do.
I hadn't really timed it that way, but I was able to do some stuff up front.
Yeah.
Do the 6, and then do some
hang with old stuff and get out of Dodge.
Yeah, yeah. And I was very happy with it. Everybody had a great set.
Good.
It was beautiful. The best. You trust me. It was the best. But,
making comedy great.
I am making comedy great again.
Yes.
Because all you other fuckers are ruining it. But yeah, so I was real happy with that. So I get there on Saturday. It's filmed during the day. And I have Pip coming to see me and my wife. I'm allowed 2 guests.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think you'd have an interest.
I was working.
No, I didn't think you'd have an interest. Seeing another comic, you know, if it's the Tonight Show, hey, I can bring 10 people, you might have an interest.
Yeah, seeing you filming, you want to come see me do TV? No.
Yeah, exactly. Who needs your bad attitude? Yeah. Let the neighbors deal with you. I'm trying to bring supportive people and my wife.
Yeah. I laugh at that because, yeah.
You well, she's get my harshest critic. You guys are neck and neck.
I know. Yeah.
So, it's the show is predominant. They're doing a bunch of tapings. Mm-hmm. Each show is going to have 3 comics and the host.
Now, and well, Joe, he's doing 7 minutes. You just told it.
6. I'm doing 6.
Okay.
And then there's like a brief interview afterwards. So they're doing a bunch of shows at once. I'm on the second batch of shows, so I'm the first comic on the second batch. Comics are predominantly African American.
Okay. Now, first comic on the second batch, there's an MC?
Yes. The guy's putting it together, Dr. Rock.
And how much time does he
do? It varies, because it's not all making it onto the
table. Varies, life situation varies. Is he doing 3? Is he doing 5?
He's doing more than that.
Okay, well, no, the reason I'm a busybody is because I want to see how much setup time, how warm he gets the crowd, because, you know.
He did a tremendous job, because he's just burning through material, you know, while things are getting set up. Okay. Well, he did a great job.
Right.
I'm not going up there cold. I'm not trying to say that.
And that's what I'm saying. Right. Just, you know, how much, you know, if he sets a good if he sets a good plate for you.
Yeah, I have no complaints.
All right.
So it's predominantly African American comedians with a handful of white ones. I didn't know any of them before. Like, I'd never they play. You might know one of them, Melvin Garlic. He's a Long Island guy.
No, an African American guy.
Yeah.
Here's the deal with that. Okay.
I know who your friends are. So careful.
No. Stop it. The deal with that is the urban comics and the mainstream comics There was a guy, his name is Forrest Hobbs, an urban comic over on Long Island. I did a show in the urban area and stuff like that. Well, okay. But his group of guys are sweethearts, really great guys, hanging out, we're laughing and stuff like that. But because of the styles, our mainstream guys, we don't do the urban rooms, and those guys don't do that. So it's kind of a shame in the sense that they're a really good bunch of guys that are out there hustling too, that just because of the style, it's like a rock musician not really knowing a country musician. The style,
well, they do, guys, but like, yeah, I know what you're saying.
But, you know, the styles don't blend, so you really don't cross paths.
It's kind of separate paths.
Yeah, and you wish you would. They're a really sweet bunch of guys.
They're playing
man.
Clubs. And venues that I've never heard of.
Right, and yeah, yeah.
And that's just the way
that's
it is.
That's the way, it's just the styles. That's the way it is.
So these are all comics who I know nothing mm-hmm. about. I'm sure some are newer. Mm-hmm. Melvin's been around for a while. Some right. probably have more experience. I don't know. But a couple of interesting things. Chris Rock Oscars. Chris Rock did the thing about the Oscars.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we really talked about it on this show. But I saw from white comedians, one... I don't know. Something's going on. They should be out, but I don't know. I don't know. I saw some of the white comedians were very upset that Chris Rock, he added the joke in his set list that the only way you'll see black people in memoriam is black people shot by the cops on the way to the movies. And I saw a lot of white comics fetching about that.
Yeah.
How dare he take that shot, this, that, the other thing.
Yeah.
For me, I thought it was fine. I'm like, you know what? This is a tough gig. A joke's a joke. Relax, people.
Yeah.
But there was, I'm sure you saw some of that too.
Yeah.
So then I'm talking. So a couple of these African American comics, Melvin and Vincent, mm-hmm. and Vincent goes to me. He goes, you know, he got a lot of grief from the black community for quote, and this is his word, not mine, cooning it up for those segments that they. I don't know if you saw it, but they had Tracy Morgan in a dress, and that was one of the video clips they had,
right.
And they had this black female who's on Saturday Night Live. I'm sorry, I don't know her name. I don't really watch Saturday Night
Live. She doesn't
know
yours either,
exactly,
so it's cool.
It's fun. So they had her pretending she was a bear from the movie The Revenant and everything.
Right.
So Chris Rock got a lot of shit for that. So I just thought it was like real interesting. You got the white people bitching about Chris for one thing. You got the black people bitching about, you know, comedians Chris. And that just goes, it's a thankless job.
It is.
You just can't please everybody. So I thought that was very interesting. Pip has made her way here. She has shrubbery in hands. She will be settling into the mic. Settling into the mic. Please don't. We have to clean these things. So I thought that was very interesting. And then some of the other things discussed in the green room was one of the comics from Philly was telling us how to make bombs, not the type I do with my jokes, Joe. Yeah. Real bombs. I had never had this conversation.
You told me about that, and I was like, damn, I wish that I had been privy to half the conversation going on over there.
He was the one who had the joke about being pointless. It was like a really cute joke. He had these like really cute jokes. And they were funny, don't get me wrong. But the one that he's like talking about, like, the mean, you know, shooting people, this, that, the other, and making bombs. The next one he's doing the joke. And he can't understand why me and the other comics who heard this story are stunned by the material. It's like, well, we just didn't expect this. He's like, I don't know what you expect. I'm like, you were just talking about making bombs. Now you're doing cute jokes.
You sound like a nut.
Yeah. I had no idea. So he couldn't grasp that. Another thing that was discussed, one of the comedians works in a hospital, and I guess they did the first face transplant.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wait, is that the one where the lady had the...
I think it was a
like
son.
Something rip
I
her face off?
A son, I don't know what it was, and like a family donated their son's face. And this was at his...
Oh, my God.
This is in the green room. I got to say, white comics, we do not talk about this shit. This is way more interesting.
Way more interesting.
Well, the white... Here's the white comic green room. How'd he get that gig? Who should... I bet she blew him to get that spot on that show. What are you drinking? You know, this business sucks. Can you hook me up? Can you put a word in? That's the white comic green room.
Yeah.
Black comic green room, far more entertaining.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely.
So then for some reason, and Joe will appreciate this, the N-word came up, and I don't mean it like that, but you'll
right.
see why in a minute. The N-word came up, and they're talking about comedians using the N-word.
Right.
And I said, well, I used to have a joke where I say the word nigga. What?
The
room stops.
Really?
The room stops.
Oh, because you can't say that word.
I can, and I will.
Not in there, you won't.
There. I did, and I lived.
I can't believe that.
And well, like, what did he say?
Well, the whole room stopped and looked at me, and I explained. I go, listen, the joke has to be good enough for you to do. And I only got to explain the first part of the joke, which isn't the best part of the joke. It's not the twist. But
right. Before they were already on top of you, like.
Right, but then. But I'm like,
bludgeoning you with a chair.
But I'm like, hey.
Is that what happened?
I'm a comic. As long as it's funny enough, I should be able to do this.
And they're like, no.
Well, right. And I'm like, well, how come black comics can make fun of white people? And I never heard this before. It's often been discussed, but this is what they said. Slavery. What? I don't think picking cotton translates to a dick joke about white people. I don't think so.
Yeah, I get over it. You know, it's been a while.
Well, I don't know about that either.
Get over it?
No.
Oh,
listen,
my God.
There have certainly been some setbacks due to slavery in the black community. I don't think telling jokes is one of them.
That's something that happened over 170 years
well,
ago.
But even we had the civil rights movement in the 50s and 60s. People have lived through that.
Yeah, civil.
So it's fair. It's just not. I just don't think it's fair when it comes to jokes. So I'm like, listen, as long as the joke is funny enough, I should be able to say. So then,
as long as the point is solvent enough. Is where you're allowed to say it. If you have a strong enough point where you could use the word.
Well, you've evolved from that. Because the joke that you used to hate where I used it was a very smart joke and it had a point, but you used to hate that joke. I don't do the joke anymore, but not because I'm worried about blowback. I just don't do the joke anymore. But I would get a lot of grief from white comics saying, you can't do that joke. And I go, but I just did. And they laughed. But Joe has evolved. Joe has evolved through if the joke is good enough, and we'll get to this in a little bit with the next part of our show. If the joke is good enough and it has a point or a message, you can do it.
I want to know who was laughing, the white folk or the black folk?
No, the black people get it. If anybody ever complained, it was the middle-aged white people.
Now, the problem is, though, is that, and it's a line that comics have to walk. Now, I do the joke about the word retard. The word faggot.
He's talking about us.
Yeah,
I know. I was saying
and
it
the N word.
Already.
And I just used the N word. Where people that get upset about that word in certain situations are 100% correct. Mm-hmm. However, it's in the context.
Right.
And then I use situations where in the context the jokes go very 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 well.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Once again, I'm name dropping. I'm working with Adam Ferrara again.
It's one name over and over. It's actually sad at this point.
I know.
Name.
What am
dropping.
I gonna? Joe has a friend.
He's a successful comic.
That's his only friend. But Joe has this one guy.
He's my go-to reference for anything successful that I need to aspire. To.
But he's got him.
He's got the one.
But anyway, I do this whole segment, and the segment works very, very well. But Adam told me one day, he goes, I wouldn't put that in a demo reel. And I'm like, why not? He goes, because the people think you're being racist. But I go, I do a whole preamble explaining it. He goes, don't matter. He goes, you got these comedy bookers that are 23 that get upset if the wind doesn't blow from the correct direction. So,
yeah, I wouldn't put it in the demo.
Yeah, but it just, you know, but it would be in it's on my YouTube channel. I had that one joke on it, but, you know.
So then Vincent's one of the African-American comics, is telling this story, how he's doing the show, and I guess it was a USO show in the States. I guess it was at one of these clubs. And the comic before him is a white comic, and he kept on saying, I don't know if it was nigga or nigger, I don't know what it was, but he kept on saying it. And then he would look at Vincent, like, every time he said it, like, it's okay, right? Like, we're cool. Like, no, now you're just making it weird.
Yeah.
If you have conviction to do that joke and to use that word, you should be able to stand there and say that word and not look at anybody's direction but the audience, because you know that you have conviction to
I've
do that
done
joke.
It. I've stood in front of 300 black people who are not pleased at me while I did it. But I've done it.
Well, that's why they have in common with the white people.
Listen, sometimes it didn't work, but it usually did. But I said, yeah, this guy is making it weird.
Yeah.
And then, like, the guy comes up to, like, I guess Vincent after, is like, oh, we're cool. It's like, no, you're not cool.
Yeah.
It was so bad to the point where Vincent was saying that audience members were coming up to him, Vincent, going, are you okay, man? So instead of, like, just doing the joke and standing by the joke, it's like you single out the black comic to look at him for approval.
Well,
you made it odd.
Here's one, you know, this is kind of ironic because these are the two jokes, your N-word joke and my scared straight joke. With the dog, and he hates it. We used to go back and forth. You never liked it. But anyway.
It wasn't your best, and you had the audacity to come up. There was nothing edgy about it.
No, well,
Well, I don't think a schnauzer was going to write a letter to the club.
Well, here's the deal. Okay, so basically the premise of the joke is I say I have a dog, and the dog can't have a trainer. So my wife goes, oh, he needs a trainer. I go, no, what he needs is Scared Straight, where they take the kids, Scared Straight, where they take the kids to the prison. The prisoners come out. I need to do this in a dog way. I need to go to the dog pound, have two flea-bitten pit bulls come out.
You going to do the
whole bit? No. I'm gonna flea bitten pit bulls come out and go, who's wagging their tail? Who the fuck wagging their tail? Right?
Humping people's leg,
chasing a mailman, peeing on the rug.
Right? It's like a chorus when Joe does it and I'm in the room.
I know exactly what you're doing, though.
Right. So I was working with this one African American comic, and he gets on stage and goes, Why does Joe Curry have to use a black voice when he's doing the dogs? And because that's what's in these fucking shows. It wouldn't work the other way around.
But are they in the kennels, Joe? Something to think about.
I mean, what do you think? They're going to go, who's wagging their tail?
Why does every dog have to be a Doberman just because they're black? Is that why they're in the locked up, Joe?
Because those are the dogs that are usually, usually have the record. The Dobermans, what I explained
to Vincent and everybody else was that this comic was wrong. You do not look at the African American people in the room directly. You look at it in the corner of your eye.
Remember where the car is parked.
Yeah. I said that.
Remember where the car is parked.
Where the car is parked.
That's a peripheral vision.
Make sure you can get to it quick.
That's why the good Lord invented peripheral vision. Are we cool?
And side doors in auditoriums.
So Pip and my wife had a hard time getting there because our phone, they got there, but they couldn't find us. But they found us.
Yeah, eventually.
And now you said something, you were a little intimidated.
Well, it was very strange because we were in the college, and the instructions were go through this one gate and then go downstairs. And we did that. We didn't know there was a further downstairs to go. So we're walking around, and we made a whole circle of the floor, looking for the door, looking for a sign, looking for something. There was one girl that was sitting in the hallway. I mean, there were no people.
It's a Sunday afternoon.
Right. So there was one girl. She's got her headphones on. She's curled up in a fetal position on a chair. All the signs were, get the fuck away from me. And so she was, so we're like,
must be a fan of the show.
Yeah. So we're going to ask her for directions. So we'll just look at her and we keep going. So then all of a sudden.
I would have stopped. Look, it's worth being judged. We got to go into this show. Hi, we get it. Where is this fucking thing?
Well, we asked her, and she's like, no idea.
All right.
So we walk around, and all of a sudden, then finally, we see these four big black guys. And I see that, they're carrying bags, and one's got cans on his ears, and I'm like, hey.
And Pip and my wife are like, we got the ass for this conversation.
Yeah. Holy smokes!
What?
No, but I was thinking, oh, maybe they're TV people because he looked like he had equipment on, Yeah. So I'm like, hey, do you guys know where the TV station is or where the TV taping is? And they're like, oh, that's what we're looking for. So we're like,
we'd be a team and be lost.
Yeah, so we joined teams.
When you told me that story, I thought you said you guys would have been intimidated if it was a different scenario.
Yes, okay. Yes, because now here we are, we're in the Bronx, mm-hmm. and we're in a school campus. And so, we're in a media building, and, I saw the headphones on the guy, and I mean, he could have been listening to music, and he was. Mm. But it's like, and they were carrying bags and stuff, so it looked like are students here or they know what they're doing. They're supposed to be here.
Right.
They looked like they were looking around like they're looking for something like us. I thought, oh, maybe
yes, they were
know.
Looking for you.
No, they were not
looking
for me.
Tag that ass.
No, that means they're spray their initials on it.
Whatever the can is.
No, tap it.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah,
Sorry.
So,
your ass has obviously been tapped by more black people than me. I apologize.
When they tag it, they just like graffiti it.
No, they pull out and they go, what's here?
No, that's tapping it.
No, but, well, I guess.
That's
all right.
That's a double tap.
Sure.
Tapped it and then tapped it.
We're talking about coming on a ranch.
I understand.
Okay, you look confused.
I don't need to listen about the birds and the bees.
Yes,
know,
you do.
No,
we've
no.
established that. No. Where's the man in the boat? He's by the dock, stupid. Why are you asking?
Did you say dock? Yeah, you did. Anyway, so finally, then the guy that's running the thing comes upstairs. I guess he's looking for survivors. And these guys recognize him. I didn't know who the hell we were looking for. So they're like, hey, man, oh, there you are, blah, blah, blah. So we're like, oh, here are the token white girls following them. We're supposed to be there, too. So we just follow along
behind. You with the Jewish guy? He's inside.
Yeah. So we follow along inside, and we find Davin. But we said later that if these guys, who were all fine, but, I mean, if these guys were walking down the street in the Bronx, I was not walking up to this group of gentlemen and asking directions.
It just goes to show, like, how when people are in different situations, you perceive the same people. I thought that was fascinating. I understand it, but it's just a fascinating thing.
Yeah. I actually wouldn't ask anybody in the Bronx for directions.
You wouldn't be in the Bronx.
But there were four big black dudes, and I was just like, yeah, no.
How many bags of oranges do I have to buy for directions? That's really the negotiation.
Yeah, and the thing is, if you're planning on going to the Bronx, you're going to damn well know where you need to be. You're not going to go out in a lark.
Clear, any one of them I would have asked directions of, but four of them, no.
She thought she would be so in the morning.
Yeah. I'm just going to wander up the Grand Concourse and see what I can see. But I can't.
So as I said, this is predominantly black comedians. Like I said, there's white comedians. Predominantly a black audience. Some white people, my wife, Pip.
Now, are the college kids?
No.
Yeah, was it a college?
No, they're friends of the comics or invited people.
And this was done at a college?
At a college.
Right.
I've done black clubs before. I used to do them quite frequently. I've done them in the South. I've headlined them. But at the time, and it's been years since I've done it, I don't do it anymore. But at those times, I found I had to do a lot of crowd work, kind of goof on them, and that's how they enjoyed me. Mm-hmm. If I did my material at the time, it would come across as corny. Now, I don't know if it was them. I don't know if it was my delivery. I don't know if it was the material at the time. But it just wasn't working the same way it would work for a mixed crowd or a white crowd or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I knew I had to change up my game in those situations.
As Joe likes to say, call in the moment.
Yeah.
So now I'm going in my head. Because now I see the other comics. So I start getting in my own head. Do I want to switch up what I was going to do? Should I do different material? I'm in my own head. I'm fighting myself. I'm like, you know what? Just do the six it came with stupid.
You have to do, because sometimes, just do the damn show.
Yeah.
You tell yourself. Just go up there and do the damn thing.
Exactly. Because I'm like, the goal is to make a video. I'm not really worried about this TV show. I just want this particular video for some reason, because I figure it's going to be professionally shot, hopefully.
Yeah.
Something I could send out, maybe even cruise ship stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my goal is. I'm not really worried about TV anymore. Yeah.
He did well.
Well, we'll get there, but thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. So I'm watching, and the comics are very good.
Yeah.
They're high energy. They're singing, they're dancing. That's the other white guy. I swear to God, this is true. I'm not just saying that.
Oh, he's chucking and jiving.
He's doing Michael Jackson. I'm like, are you kidding me? Son of a bitch.
I know.
Stupid's trying to learn how to moonwalk before he goes on.
Yes, I was. Listen, I know I used to do the N-word, but I don't do that anymore. Can you help me with this move?
Yeah.
So, and then the other comics go on. Two other comics go on. Very high energy. Just bringing it, and the audience is loving it. I'm going, son of a bitch. I don't get nervous anymore. I really don't get nervous, but I'm starting to get a little nervous for this, because I don't do a ton of TV.
I got to tell a quick story. Him and I were doing a church function or something like that?
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago.
And there was this guy, and the guy was very good, very sweet guy, very clean as a whistle.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the MC, he's destroying. And we're just in like one of the back classrooks where we were, and you just hear, we look at each other and go, we're so fucked.
Well, that was a couple of years ago. Yeah, I put that show together.
Yeah.
I was thinking of a different one. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. He had like write the material. For
Oh, we go listen. And yeah, huddle. Oh, we're so fucked. We actually did. We both did well on that.
The show went great. But yeah. But I don't really get nervous. Like people ask, you get nervous? Not really anymore. Mm. You know, once in a while, but not really.
Once in a blue moon.
I was nervous for that. I'm looking over my stupid notes.
No,
because I want to make sure I remember everything. So this is a weird feeling for me. So then they switch and they're doing the second film. And I told you I was the host. I was the first comic on the second filming. So then
you know, I can feel the butterflies right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a
predominantly black audience.
You just can feel the butterflies.
These guys are good. They're bringing energy. And I know I'm not bringing energy tonight. I'm not doing what I know how to do to survive in these rooms. I'm being Whitey McWhite comic tonight. I know the tools I need to make this be a success, but I also know I left the tools at home.
Well, you have them in the car. You can't use them.
Yeah.
I left them in the car.
And the wife and I are sitting there going, you dragged us out to the Bronx, you son of a bitch. You better be good.
Yeah, well, you can't. Yeah, of course they're in the front row. It's always the people you bring in the front row.
Oh,
so you can't even look at them.
I was sitting in the hot seat, man.
We're talking about the deck being stacked, huh?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
why, thank you.
Yeah. So then the host starts bringing up, he starts bringing up the Donald Trump. He's doing all Donald Trump material.
Yeah.
He's doing all Donald Trump. You would not have been pleased. to this whole predominantly black room, and then he's bringing me up. So
God almighty, can you imagine in that show? They have it up for your MC. I never heard of such horse shit. Boo, blah. Let you me would, tell you people
you
something.
Would not have had the bullocks to say it in that room, my friend. You would have been like, I concur.
Yeah, I concur.
Yeah. So there's a white man coming along trying to ruin our country, and here's your first comedian.
Well, that's pretty much what it was. And I go to this is a, for my tape. I go, I've never had a more awkward introduction. Let's talk about Donald Trump in a room full of black people, and now you're white comic.
I go,
listen, people, don't blame me for this. This is a, I go, I don't even like walls. I don't even live in a house. We live in a tent. That's how I get that.
Yeah.
And then I went and did the material.
That was a good start.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I specifically made, I looked left, I looked right. Now, there's nobody sitting right in the middle because that's where the camera is. So I look left, I look right, and then I would make sure I would deliver some things right in the camera to nobody.
But that's the way you learn. You go, you got to go in for the sell. It's the
right,
sell.
But nobody's training me on this. Mm-hmm. But I'm just like, well, this is what I should do. And I'm making sure that I'm going very slow, and I'm trying to enunciate, which we know is a struggle for me even here. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to use my facial expressions.
Do you want to know? I hate to stop you again. People don't realize how many. I wish they could do a brain scan on a comic when he's on stage.
Take a while to find something.
People don't understand how many things go through your head at one
sure.
time. It's
right.
Like, that's like why I don't drink when I go up and do stand. Like we were playing last night when we were playing with the band. I was telling Johnny Ray, I go, I'll have two before I go up because I need to just kick back,
loosen up,
and relax to do the gig. When it comes to comedy, I got to be tense and I got to have my shit together.
Absolutely.
You know, not that I want to play, but when you go up, it's a whole different ball game, man.
Same thing with acting. There's a lot going on. You have to remember your lines. You have to remember your marks. You have to listen to the other people because, number one, you're bouncing off of them, even though they're written lines. But you also, if they fuck up, you have to, like, step up and change the words.
And I've heard stories. Yeah, I've heard stories.
You know,
yeah.
So that you have to, you know,
especially
keep it going.
Yeah, and like a play. My friends that have done plays told, you know, my brother, my Al, who used to write with, he used to tell us, where he'd be doing a play, guy jumps four pages.
Yes, yes.
And now they have to get to him and then bring the damn thing back four pages.
Oh, the horror.
So, yeah, I heard horror stories.
Yeah.
So I tried to concentrate on all these things of going slow. I felt it went well. Some of the jokes actually worked better.
You felt it went well because you know how you do.
Yeah, I'm not one of these people that hears fake applause.
No, you're self-critical.
No, but still, you know, if you've been doing it, you know how you do it.
I felt some of the jokes actually work better than they do in the clubs. Mm. I actually felt, I'm like, wow, they're really giving me a lot on this. It felt good. Did it come across well?
It did. It did. I thought that it was fast paced, but that's not necessarily a bad thing because you were hitting it.
Yeah, it was joke after joke after joke. There wasn't a lot of wasted time. I think I definitely had a much different style than the comics that were the other comics.
And you were a little different for you even.
What do you mean?
Know? I mean, I know you're
I got laughs.
It's funny. Yeah. Why couldn't you let me get that line?
You don't deserve it.
Yeah. What is that noise people are making? That guttural sound coming from
their mouths.
I was
about to go for that line. I'm like, hey,
I'm not going to give you the privilege, stupid. Walk your own side of the road.
It was good. It's also a little bit different from the way that I'm used to seeing you do. I mean, material, of course, but I'm used to seeing you go into a lot of crowd work.
We were talking about that. I'm usually much looser and free-flowing. And
and you were like, jokes, 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 jokes. I mean, I knew that you were improvising in the beginning because of, you know, what you're saying.
And I thought that was the move.
You have to. It's also calling the moment and bringing, you know, getting everybody relaxed on that because you could relax them and get into. Yeah, if you just went into your stuff.
Well, that's really what a professional would do. But.
But it's true, and that's come from seasoning. You know,
you're acknowledging the segue was awkward, so they're like on your side.
Right.
So it was a smart call.
And you have to know. Well, I got to do my but you need to get it set up. Just you do your minute, and you move, and you know that. It's been doing it for years.
The other comics were extremely complimentary of me, which was nice. And I was very, you know, I'm going to use a bunch of these guys on my shows that Side Splitting Productions produces, but they were. they were very nice about the way I presented the material and that it was just like, you know, joke. But there wasn't wasted motion. Like some of the other guys actually on the other tapings went into the audience. I didn't do any of that.
Oh, I didn't see that. Yeah, already.
Why would you do that though?
Well, they would acknowledge Pip a lot because Pip was an excellent laugher, like she is on our show.
But if you're taping. Why would you do that?
There's none of that direction. I didn't have direction. I just did what I thought.
But for a taping, you don't go right. Do crowd work.
No. You know what? I think that it was just my glaring whiteness right in the front row in the lights. And I have never been so aware of what color I am as I was that evening because so many people made reference to it.
I was
how big my eyes get when I'm surprised.
Well, oh my, so many black men. Where do I start? All right.
Easy watch up.
On the break, we're going to listen to MC Dura with the new single Way Home. To learn more, you're going to go to khb-music.de. That's khb-music.de. MC Dura with the single Way Home. Don't go anywhere. We've got plenty of more show to go.
DonRogueRadio.com, TuneIn.com, HawkRadio.net. You can also listen to replays of the show every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern on RainRockRadio.com and TalkSuperStation.com on Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You'll find all of our shows, plus customized highlights of us scamming the scammers, going back to the very beginning of our interactions with our African friends. Go to iHeart.com and search Davin's Den. The Indie Authority also has apps so you can listen live on your mobile devices. Platforms include BlackBerry, Android, and Apple. Also, you can download the TuneIn app on your Apple or Android device and search for Davin's Den. You can download previous shows from the following places: DavinComedy.com, DavinsDen.com, Stitcher.com, iTunes, the Android app, iHeartRadio, RuthlessRadio.fm, TuneIn.com. iHeart can only be heard in the U.S.